was wonderful. Thank you. John, why are you waving at me? Don't ring it till I've done the words of welcome. That was John. Good morning, everyone. How wonderful to see you all here today. There is a choir this morning, but there is not enough room in the sanctuary for both the congregation and the choir, so they'll be dropping by soon. I want to welcome you to this very, very special summer Sunday here at Unity Church, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church, and in particular to the movie night on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, when our welcoming congregation ministry team will be leading a conversation about the wonderful film Transamerica. If you haven't seen this film, or even if you have, please come and participate in the conversation. It is a lovely, lovely tribute to the human condition. It is a marvelous film, and will be a fine conversation. You've come on a very special Sunday. This service marks the culmination of the annual conference of the Unitarian Universalist Musicians Network, which has been held here at Unity Church. We've been honored and delighted to work with the Minnesota Valley Congregation in Bloomington and with its minister, Mary Samuels, who will be participating in the service with us. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can see new friends and old. Peruse our excellent bookstall. Is the bookstall open, Laura, this morning? Not peruse our excellent bookstall. You'll have to come back for that. In fact, it will be so crowded that breathing will be difficult, but come anyway. Next week, Jenny Wilson, a marvelous preacher and member of the congregation, and worship associate Neely Crane Smith, will offer a service entitled Conditions for Travel. There will be one service at 10 o'clock. On September 10th, the Sunday following Labor Day, we'll begin our new worship schedule with services every Sunday at 9, 11, and 4:30, and intergenerational worship on Wednesday evenings at 6:45. Again, we're delighted to be together. Welcome to Unity Church.
These are the words of the poet John Hall Wheelock. Life burns us up like fire, and song goes up in flame, and the body returns in ashes to the ashes whence it came. Out of things it rises and laughs and loves and sings. Slowly it subsides into the char of things. Yet a voice soars above it. Love is great and strong. The best of us forever escapes in love and song. Come, let us worship together.
Responsive reading, please turn in your hymnal to number 532. I will begin and ask you to follow with the italicized. The music of the spheres,
harmonious universe,
its rhythms are the equal repeated seasons, the beating of the heart. The cycles of stars and corn.
The moon that folds by day and folds up again by night.
Rhythms of moon and tide, one single rhythm in planets, atoms, sea.
And apples that ripen and fall, and in the mind of the
melody, a chord, arpeggios, the harp of the universe. Unity behind apparent multiplicity.
That is the music.
You may be seated.
Every Sunday, when we gather for worship, we pause for a few moments to hold in the embrace of this loving community, those whose unfolding life stories are particularly rich with joy or heavy with sorrow. I'll begin this sharing, and following my words, you are invited to offer the names of those you are holding in your heart to bring into the sanctity of this sacred hour. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Betsy Downing. Betsy grew up in this church and was a longtime member. A service to honor her memory and celebrate her life will be held later this month. We hold in our prayers all those who live with grief over the loss of a loved one. And we hold in our thoughts and prayers all those people who are recovering from recent illnesses, injuries, surgeries, and health problems. We hold in our embrace Sarah Greenbaum, who is on doctor-ordered bed rest while she awaits the arrival of her twin daughters. We also hold in our thoughts and prayers Carol Miller, recovering well from shoulder surgery at home, Annie Keeler and her family in our prayers as they navigate through Annie's last days with ALS. We hold in our prayers our brothers and sisters around the globe, suffering from poverty of spirit, of possibility, those whose lives are filled with uncertainty due to violence, hardship, and war. May we live to see a day when their lives, as well as ours, are filled with peace and possibility and the promise of abiding freedom. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or bring into the embrace of this caring community. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer and meditation. O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by many different names and approach by very different paths, be with us in this holy moment. O God, whose gracious spirit moves through and over the mysteries of our living and dying, and is present in the many invitations that occur in every daily life, in the rainfall against the window pane, in the morning call of the songbirds, in the light of a friend's eyes, in the sudden lifting of the heart and the deep longing which brings us and calls us to our religious communities. May wonder have its way with us. May our passions be released, our confidence renewed. In the embrace of this spirit, may we remember that there is freedom in every moment, and that we are free to share ourselves, to laugh, to share intimately, to give of mercy, to be at ease in our human struggles, bold in our loving, brave in times of fear and terror, hopeful in the rising music of the Spirit. May it be so, and amen.
There are many ways the world benefits by the generosity of the people here gathered. The choir you're about to hear has benefited by the generosity of Dale Warland's commitment to being with them in that amazing dance, or sometimes struggle, sometimes rising joy of a conductor and a chorus. So many lives are touched by the wealth of spirit and of service which grows here. These doors are kept open by your generosity. Will the ushers please come forward, or at least attempt to come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, generation unto generation, we dedicate our lives and this our offering.
was a first-year student at seminary, I had a class on weddings and funerals. And the professor of that class said, there's only one thing you need to remember out of this class, and that is that you are enough. And all the first-year students went, thank God. Now, ironically enough, Rob and I followed that professor in teaching that class on weddings and funerals. And so I began the class and I said, I have two things to say to you. One, and I told the story of Ron Cook and his words of wisdom, and I said, but I also want to present to you the other truth, which is, you're not enough. And as worship leaders, I want you to hold that truth, that paradoxical truth, that you are simultaneously enough to be carriers and containers of spirit, but that you aren't enough, and that each of us as human beings are completed by something beyond us, larger than us. And so today, I ask you, all of you, but particularly the musical professionals in the other room, to hold that paradoxical truth. Because as a worship leader, as a minister, I know that I work in partnership with Ruth, and that I am not enough, and that even in this dynamic duo, Ruth and I are not enough. That we are in partnership with mystery and with a spirit of life. People come to our congregations world weary, full of longing and hope, and they come to us in need. They come to be uplifted, held in their despair. They come to share their joy and their triumphs. And we are here to offer partnership. Partnership in something larger than any one of us. And to offer in partnership the paradoxical truth that each one of us is enough and each one of us is not enough. I end with the story told to me by my dear friend, Meg Riley, who is here today, I'm delighted to see. Meg tells the story of Carolyn McDade writing Spirit of Life. And Carolyn had been at one of those meetings that all activists know so well, where you're not sure you want to create the beloved community with these people that you're working with to create the beloved community. And she went home and she was so full of despair. And she came home and her husband and children were asleep. And she sat down in the darkened room at her piano and lifted up to the Spirit of Life her prayer of despair, asking for hope. And it is Spirit of Life that came to her. Spirit of Life, come unto me. Sing in my heart the stirrings of compassion. So, in this holy moment, in times of despair, hope, and triumph, I offer you this partnership where we can work together to embrace the reality of the mystery and spirit that is woven in our lives.
Trinity Episcopal Church has been on Wall Street in New York City since the 18th century. George and Martha Washington had a pew there, On September 11th, 2001, as people streamed away from the falling towers, they flooded into places that seemed safe. Trinity Episcopal Church was one of those places. Caught in the confusion and angst of the moment, the church staff wondered how to minister to these people. The church organist was in the building that day. He went directly to the pipe organ and began to play softly, soothing, gentle music. People who had stood bewildered or quietly weeping now gravitated towards the pews, sitting, kneeling, lying down on them. Gradually, a kind of quiet calmness settled on those present, and the organist played until the dust and debris from the explosions clogged the organ pipes, the notes wheezing out at the end. The organist played until there was not one sound left in the organ. I would imagine those people who sought sanctuary that day at Trinity Episcopal Church would agree with a line of poetry from Alexander Pope. Some to church repair, not for the doctrine, but the music there. Music is the art that can soothe the agitations of the heart. It redeems life, not just in its tragic moments, but in the joyous and exciting, the sad and the enigmatic times as well. Music can be a conduit for the pain and joy that would overwhelm us. Just as that organist created safe and sacred space for those vulnerable people that fateful day, the music in our churches can provide the soul space for our vulnerability. And it seems to me that that is a sacred trust.
She peered out from behind the veil of her auburn hair, her eyes at the edge of cynicism, and said, "I don't believe in God. I have no idea what people mean when they say God is within you. I have nothing to say about it, and I won't include it in my statement." "Yes, you do," I told her. "You're a musician. You play, what is it? The flute. Where? In your school orchestra. Have you ever lost yourself in the music? Have you ever felt one with the instrument as though you and the flute were both being played by something far larger than yourself?" And then another 14-year-old child of the church, a tough guy in a screaming t-shirt, also an avowed atheist, expressed like doubts. And I said, "You're an athlete. Have you ever lost yourself in the game? Have you ever been amazed by the way being part of the team carries you beyond what you had thought were your limits? Talk about that." That experience, that sense of being in creative partnership with a power far beyond our own, is what true religion hopes to help us comprehend and cultivate. When children come of age here, they're asked to prepare a statement of their personal theology. The framework is actually quite severe. It's not an easy thing to do. Most adults would not even attempt it. In helping our children approach that threshold, we assure them of two things. And it's not, you are enough, and you are not enough. Though in a way, first, that revelation for us is not sealed, that we are not asking for them to offer up some final truth, but only to wrestle honestly with some essential questions which they can anticipate wrestling with for as long as they live. And secondly, that the experience of the holy is at the center of our faith. The experience itself, and not the story of someone else's revelation. The centrality of one's own experience of the holy is the key to our religious understanding. John Coltrane spoke of soul as the space between the notes. With that in mind, allow me to offer you a little catechism lesson on the subject of worship. What is worship for? Worship is for helping us to live more loving, better balanced, more inspired, more effective lives. How does worship work? Worship works when silence, words, and music alternate to establish a rhythm that calls us to surrender into faith and so to be renewed. Who makes worship work? Worship is a partnership between the pulpit, the musicians, and the people in the pews. It's a partnership which calls for faithful creativity, great forethought, and a firm and active trust. This morning, we take time to acknowledge and to celebrate that partnership, to bow in gratitude before this great gathering of church musicians, to honor the mission and the ministry we share, to bless and to be blessed, to lose and so to find ourselves as we once again come into harmony with the divine. May it be so. And amen.
so thin a veil. Edward Carpenter. So thin a veil divides us from such joy, past words, walking in daily life, the business of the hour, each detail seen to, yet carried, wrapped away on what sweet floods of other being, swift stream of music flowing, light far back through all creation shining, loved faces looking, ah, from the true, the mortal self, so thin a veil divides.
Thank you. This is a note from Martha Graham to Agnes DeMille. There is a vitality, a force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all this time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable it is, nor how it compares with other expression. It is your business to keep it yours, clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. No artist is ever pleased. There is no satisfaction whatever at any time. There is only a queer, divine dissatisfaction, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching on and makes us more alive than any other human beings.
Thank you. How glorious. And I have some sense of how hard you worked. If we could bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, help us to hold on to this moment in every moment. May this choir kindle in us a willingness to join that choir invisible whose song is always with us, if we would but pause and settle into silence and listen. Teach us the ways of praise. Up out of our solitude into solidarity, from silence into song, in this moment and in every moment yet to come, praise and gratitude for the living of our days. Amen.
For what we have struggled with, what we have experienced together, and what we know to be true. that a spirit of life moves through our living and our dying and blesses all our days through love, compassion, and justice. Let us sing praises. Amen. Thank you.